How many of you traveled over the holidays at all? Did anyone travel? Have people traveling? Anyone take an airplane? Yeah. So I don't know if this happens to you when you fly, but it often does to me. I'll just be kind of settled in with my book and my bag and my coat, and the person next to me will kind of smile at me and say, oh, hello, you know, where are you going? Oh, I'm going here, and they're going there. And very often the next question is, so what do you do? And I will be honest, I'll tell the truth. In this moment, I really want to just make something up. I just want to give a really simple answer, like, I'm a doctor, or I'm a teacher, or I could just say, I'm in plastics or computers. Like, just kind of something that you would find kind of in a kid's book, something that almost everybody could just put in a box. Because I've had the experience of saying, well, I'm a Unitarian Universalist pastor, and then I get about 15 more questions. And I just don't always want to answer all those questions when I'm sitting on the airplane. So I have thought of many lies that I could say. I could say I'm a sculptor, or I'm a firefighter. I could say that I am the Dalai Lama's French interpreter. Because I think, you know, the likelihood that I'm going to talk to this person again is so low. But I stop myself, because I do know it would be a lie. And from very early on, I was taught, both by my parents explicitly and by the culture more generally, not to lie. And so it is with this wrestling that I bring to you this morning, this theme of truth and telling the truth and honesty and lying, and kind of everything in between. Would it really matter if I lied on the airplane to a stranger who I would never see again? I know of no moral teaching more direct than tell the truth, be honest. Indeed, it can be found in basically every religious tradition and sacred text, from Hebrew inscription, Christian scriptures to the Buddhist precepts against lying or gossiping. The commandment says pretty clearly, do not give false testament against your neighbor. It doesn't say, do not give false testament against your neighbor except when running for office. It does not say, thou shalt not lie except about your neighbor's home decor. And so we are often, over and over again, facing this question of what truth or lie are we going to tell? How honest can we really be in this situation? And we find, I think, some room, some places that may not be the most honest within our own lives. And of course, this is obviously true in the world around us. There's inflated advertising, there's political lobbyists, there's a commander in chief. We can't even count how many lies we're hearing. And so I am aware that there are only a few things in the world I can control. I can't control all the advertising. I can't control all the political lobbying, though I can take actions to address it. And if I am the recipient of a powerful generation that really articulated in the feminist movement of the 1960s, the personal is political, I have to believe, I have to trust that the choices I make in my own life have some larger impact around the political culture I live in and the world I shape. So it is not an easy choice in relationships with people we know or with strangers. And yet, I do believe there's something incredibly valuable about telling the truth. Years ago, I was in seminary just up the hill at Star King School for the Ministry, and I went to a gathering of other ministers, and it was at a retreat center, beautiful retreat center, gorgeous rolling hills and trees and grasses, and all the food was prepared for us, organic, healthy food, and it happened to be a menu with no sugar. And so it was like the middle of the third day, and I was completely craving a treat. And I was like, gosh, there's not even like a vending machine. Like, I didn't bring anything. I thought, maybe I'll just slip into town and I'll get a soda. And I'll stock up and I'll bring a few treats back for myself. I don't need to tell anyone what I'm doing. I can just, you know, go off quietly. And I was in the parking lot with my keys in hand, and I ran into the senior minister at another large congregation, and he said, "Oh, where are you going?" And I smiled really big, and I said, I have to run to the post office." I flat out lied. And when I think about that, I think, why? Because really, when I think about it now, I'm sure that if I had just said, "You know, I'm craving sugar and I just want a treat," he probably would have said, "Oh, could you pick me up something too?" That's probably what would have happened. But in that moment, I didn't even hesitate. I didn't think twice. I just lied. Because of the own shame and judgment story I had about myself got in the way of what probably would have just been a sweet connection with him. So it is my own discomfort, my fear that I'm not good enough, that I'll be seen as less than, or strange, or weird, or just not quite as good as I want to be, or I want to be seen as, that causes me to lie. Do you remember the last time you fibbed? Even a little white lie? Think back for a minute. What was going on? What was the truth that maybe you were resisting? What were you afraid of? Social scientists have documented how prevalent lying is. One study found that people tell between 2 and 50 lies a day. So that's a broad range. But we know that lying, it's actually incredibly common, and it begins early. By the age of 3, researchers say that most children know how to fib, and by 6, they're probably telling a few lies a day. What I found interesting about this is that the experts believe children learn how to lie basically by how they learn everything, which is watching their parents. Children, they learn by watching us. And they watch us do things we wish we didn't do ourselves. This, perhaps, is a sermon that only a guest preacher could share. Because there are responsibilities we have in our workplaces that makes it harder to tell the truth. And so I want to say that this is something I'm bringing for you to experiment with, to hold lightly. But don't be afraid to experiment a little bit. I know there's a potluck following the service, and I have to take a family member to the airport, but I encourage you, just at the potluck, you know, a good place to start is when someone says, "How are you?" Try to answer with something besides "fine" or "busy." Say something else that's true. Something else that's real. Adrienne Rich, feminist scholar and poet, says there is no the truth. Truth is not one thing or even a system. It is increasing complexity. The pattern of a carpet is a surface. When we look closely, when we become weavers, we learn of the tiny multiple threads unseen in the overall pattern, the knots on the underside. Lies are often always attempts to make things similar for the liar than they really are or ought to be. And in lying, we end up lying to ourselves. We deny the importance of an event or a person and thus deprive ourselves of a part of our own lives. We use one piece of the past to screen out all the complexity. And in the process, we may even lose faith with our own lives. The Chinese folktale I shared earlier of the empty pot, the emperor rewards Ping. He rewards him for being honest and truthful. And this is a beautiful folktale, and I think it teaches a moral lesson that we may not encounter in our day-to-day life. I cannot promise you that telling the truth, you will be rewarded with a kingdom. Maybe not here, not in this life. Not in this time. It may be risky, it may cost a lot. And yet, I think it is our calling. It is actually what Unitarian Universalism asks us to do at its deepest level, is to speak the truth with love. There is a profound reward, one that I can not guarantee, but I can say I have found in my own life when I tell the truth. And that reward is connection. When someone speaks up honestly, it's just this powerful thing that can cause us to be more honest with ourselves. I imagine this has happened to you in a small group of some sort. Maybe it is from an anonymous group or a small group ministry or just a group of trusted friends. And when someone says actually something real, something vulnerable, it's like everyone has arrived for the first time. It's that moment, I think, that we all show up for. My partner and I watch this television show, and I will tell you that I'm actually going to spoil it for you a little bit. So I ask for your forgiveness. But it's this show called Love. It's on Netflix. And if you haven't seen it, it's worth watching, even though I'm going to spoil a little bit of it, because it's really about how the story unfolds. And it begins with this relationship between two people, Gus and Mickey. And like most people, early on in a relationship, they're trying to appear to one another that they have their stuff together. So the relationship unfolds very slowly over the first season, and it's kind of painful for the viewer to watch. We see Gus pretending that he doesn't like Mickey as much as he really does, and Mickey hiding her insecurities and problems from Gus. And there's this climactic moment at the end of the first season when Mickey has kind of created a lot of trouble for Gus at work, and he's really mad at her, and he doesn't understand kind of her behavior and why he likes her so much, and she doesn't seem to kind of let him in. And so Mickey kind of chases after him at this gas station, and it's pouring rain, and it's midnight. And he's just maybe lost his job, and she kind of finally is honest with him. She says, "Gus, I want to apologize to you. I haven't been honest with you. I'm an addict. I'm a drug addict. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a sex and love addict. And I think I need to be alone for like a year. And maybe in like a year, if you still wanted to, we could get coffee." Not your typical Hollywood ending, right? And yet that's not the end for Gus and Mickey. It's a real beginning. Because the moment we tell the truth, especially with the people we're closest to, we begin to respect and love ourselves. And I don't think we can do this alone. Mickey, right, like many people struggling with addiction, she found the courage to be honest from getting support from a community. And I think that's also part of the calling of our congregation, of congregations in general, is to hold each other through those hard truths. To say we're going to be honest with one another and we're going to stick it out. Because really, that's the thing we're looking for, is people who will be with us when they really know us. So when we tell our truth, we change the world. Little truths can actually lead to big truths, the way that so often I think little lies lead to bigger lies. The inverse is true as well. In college, I interviewed for this job I really wanted, and I sought counsel from kind of friends and teachers and professionals, and I even talked to my mom. And I said, "Mom, you know, what if they ask me this question and I just don't know the answer to in the interview and I really want to impress them? Like, what should I say?" And she didn't hesitate. She said, "You just tell them you don't know, but you say it with a lot of confidence." Tell them you don't know and say it with plenty of confidence. I think that sounds a little bit like Unitarian Universalism. There's a lot about which we are unwilling to make an ultimate or absolute claim. There's a lot at which we say, I don't know. And sometimes that may not feel like enough. But I think it is a liberating gift to this world. It is a comforting and it is an honest gift. It is a time when we hold our empty pot before the emperor and say, I did my best. I brought what I had. I gave what I could. I am who I am. And what happens after that, we don't know. So on my next flight, when someone says, so what do you do? I could start by saying, well, I don't work for the Dalai Lama. I'm not a sculptor or a firefighter, but I am part of a community, a faith community of people who are trying to tell the truth as we know it with love. Adrienne Rich, to close, when a woman tells the truth, she is creating the possibility of more truth around her. She is creating the possibility of more truth all around her. When a community tells the truth, it is creating the possibility of more truth all around them. Truth all around us. May it be so.